Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 6, Your Umpire, Peace. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on February 4th, 2018.
A great covenant. So as great as all the stories in the Bible are, we have it better. What he did for Abraham, he'll do for you. What he did for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he'll do for you. What he did for the Apostle Paul or for John, the person who wrote Revelations, he'll do for you. Because he's no respecter of persons. Amen. And the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he never changes. You can read the Bible and you can put yourself in those places. Because the things that they went through, the things that they faced, pretty much nothing has changed, just technology and some other things have changed, but people have remained the same. Their challenges have remained the same. The issues that they deal with have remained the same. The opportunities that they have or don't have remain the same. And the great thing is Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the one who can set us free from ourselves, can set us free from the power of the devil, can set us free from all the darkness that the world has and all the problems and issues that that brings with it. He's an awesome God. He's a wonderful Savior. And we can't speak highly enough of him, and our words really kind of fail us when we start describing. I loved the worship songs this morning. It was awesome just to worship God, to lift his name up. His name is the greatest name on the face of the earth. Above, below, between, his name is everything. And at the power of his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess his lordship. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to continue to talk about covenant relationship a bit this morning, and especially about the value of hearing God's voice. You know, when you say about hearing the voice of God, or if you tell folks, God spoke to me, as they say in Spanish, un poco loco. Just a little bit crazy, you know. But it's not so crazy, because inside of every human person is a longing to speak with, to communicate with, to have a relationship with the God who created them. It's inside. Sometimes it's been buried. It's been covered over. It's been distorted. It's been messed with because of the things that have happened to us, or because of situations and circumstances around us, or because of what's going on in the crazy world. But yet inside, every person wants to speak with, to have a relationship with, and have a meaningful discourse with the one who created them. So, one of the things that I learned when I was growing up is I grew up on a farm. I actually ran the farm from age approximately 14 on, because my brother, who was 17, went to the Army and went to Vietnam. And my father was sort of semi-disabled, or at least he could no longer farm. So he was the manager of a farm equipment place. And so the farm was pretty much left to my mother and myself to run. And we had 400 sheep. So when Sarah was talking about sheep and shepherds and all of those kind of things, I could relate to it, because they're kind of peculiar animals. You know, in some respects, they're a little bit dumb, but in other respects, they're very sharp, and their communication skills are interesting. You know, it says, the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want, and he leads me. You know, sheep will follow, but they're really hard to drive. You try to drive them and they scatter. But if you lead them, they'll follow. And one of the peculiar things about them that I learned is that they have amazing voice recognition. Because if I would go out and call them, you know, most of the time they knew when you were going to be fed, so they would come to the yard for feeding. But if they weren't or if they were some other place, all I'd have to do is call and they would come running. But if somebody else would fill in for me, they'd just stay out there. Because the sheep know the voice of the one who's feeding them, leading them, and guiding them, and taking care of them. And so that picture in the Bible is really an accurate picture of how God wants to have a relationship with us. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow." So when we find Jesus, the Good Shepherd, we find the voice of God, really, who can speak to us and lead us and guide us. When Pastor Karen and I were young in faith, we had the privilege of having a pastor, Dr. Lester Sumrall, who taught us a lot of things about hearing the voice of God. So here's a video clip that kind of illustrates some of the things that we learned.
So we went on to Australia and got off. And the first meeting we had was in the largest church in Australia, in Brisbane. In Melbourne. And so I went down and I preached for them a whole week, Sunday through Sunday. And in those days, they kept you with the saints. If you take the S off of it, you'll know what you're talking about. We lived with the saints. And we preached for a whole week. And I noticed that he never mentioned my name except to preach. Not in the offering part. And it came Sunday night. And he didn't mention my name. I got no money. Now, I had spent the little I had. I had a meeting the next night about 100 miles away. And I had no money to get there. Now, I cried all night. When you're 20, that's all right, to cry all night. And then I told God, I think God likes this kind of language. I said, "God, I want to tell you something. And this is it. I'll die in this room, but I won't leave until the tickets are brought here by you. I will not go on the street and say, 'Ticket, ticket, ticket. Who's got a ticket?'" I says, "I won't do that. I won't go down to the radio, to the railroad and say, 'Anybody got my ticket? Anybody got my—'" I says, "I'll stay in this room. If you can't supply my needs here, you couldn't out there anyway." So I stayed in that room. And the next morning, the lady of the house knocked on the door, a very gracious person, says, "Breakfast is ready." I said, "I don't want any. Thank you." And I stayed in that room with the door locked. I kept telling God, "You call me to go around the world and preach. This is the first place. And just like the last place, I didn't get any money." I didn't realize it at the time like I do now. Before we got a way off out there, God wanted to be sure I wouldn't turn back. That it didn't have one that would quit and go home, you see. I was there praying, and about an hour after that, the lady of the house knocked on the door again and said, "Brother Sumrall, there's a gentleman here to see you." I said, "Well, tell him to come in." So open the door. Now let me tell you what faith is. When I got up that morning, I showered and I dressed. I packed my suitcase. I packed my briefcase, which was a big one. I put it by the door, and I laid my coat on it and my hat on it, and I said, "God, for your information, anytime you bring the tickets, I'm ready." You know what you'd have done? It would have taken you an hour after the tickets arrived, you'd have still missed the plane or the train. Are you here? You do your part first, but before God does his. And if you're not willing to do your part, God's not willing to do his part. Is that all right? Here stood this Australian, a good big man, with tears running down his face. I said, "Oh, dear God, I got enough trouble without you." He said, I couldn't sleep last night. Well, I says, "I didn't either. What's wrong with you?" He says, "If God don't reveal this ring right, I won't ever have any faith." I said, "I wouldn't either. What are you talking about?" I thought him and his wife had a quarrel or something. He says, "Now, we all know that you're rich. I have more opportunities to laugh than any little man you've ever seen in your life, you know. I didn't have a dollar. 10,000 miles from home. And then I realized that Brother Greenwood hadn't given me any money because it got circulated that I was very rich. Now, you know, it's a great asset to you if you can look rich when you're poor. You can borrow money on your face. I bought a TV station that way. Yeah. He said, I like to do business with a prosperous man. And I saw him look at me up and down. I said, thank you, sir. We signed for over $1 million and I didn't have 10,000 in the world. I said, what's wrong with you, sir? He said, now we all know you're rich in our church here. Did you know when people tell me I'm rich, it makes me feel so good, I don't say anything about it. Yeah, it's a good feeling. You can't spend it, but it's a good feeling. It'll make you younger, you know. Yeah. But he said, God woke me up and said, you don't understand that this American doesn't understand our train system. Says, to go where you're going today, you have to have a reserved place on that train. It's a reserved train. You don't just go buy a ticket and get on it. And it also, besides being a reserved train, it's a reserved seat. You get seat number 12 and coach number 14. And says, you have to have two tickets to ride that train. I said, never heard of it in my life. Don't know even what you're talking about. But he says, God told me to go and buy those tickets. That's the reason I said, if this don't work, I'd never trust God again. Because we know you're rich. But you don't know our train system. And so I went and got two tickets. And here they are. I said, thank God. Hallelujah, the Lord God. Omnipotent reign it, you know. He grabbed my suitcase and I grabbed my briefcase. And two of the happiest men in the world. When we said goodbye at that train station, brother, we were flapping both wings at each other, you know. You say, why? Well, he had heard from God. I didn't have any ticket. I'd heard from God. I said, I'm not leaving this room till the tickets arrive. I'm not going outside this room. You will bring them here or I'll die here. That's what you call resolution. When you trust God like that, he turn hell over for you, you know. Well, you don't start saying, I'm going to give up, I'm going to quit, I'm going to go home, I'm going to get me a job, make a little money. No, no. You say, bring them in, bring them in. Bring it in and I'm ready. You see. And God said, hey, I like that. That's trust. Trust me.
So that was just a sampling of some of the things that we learned. To hear the voice of God. But you can hear the voice of God. That's the important thing. And we read the stories in the Bible about all the men, all the women who heard the voice of God. And God led them and directed them and guided them. But if it's just a story in the Bible and it doesn't mean anything to you and it doesn't relate to you, then you could be out in the cold or out in the dark, waiting to hear his voice, wanting to hear his voice. And you know what that does? That creates turmoil. It creates anxiety. It creates anxious feelings. It creates uncertainties. But it doesn't have to be that way for you, because you can hear the voice of God. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of the stranger they will not follow. So talking to God, hearing from God, trusting God, they're all related. That's the God we serve. So today we're going to explore the subject of kind of that ever-increasing trust or reliance on Him through hearing His voice. I've thought a lot of, wouldn't it be nice if we just had some kind of litmus test, some kind of mechanism, so that we could be really sure when it's God and when it's not? You know, litmus test in high school or college or even some middle schools, and you take some chemistry classes, they give you this little litmus paper, and you can put the litmus paper in the liquid, and you find out whether it's acidic or basic, right? Okay, I'm trying to recollect that, but it's a test. It's just a simple test, and you can see by the color on the little litmus paper which it is. So wouldn't it be nice to have that kind of a thing when we're trying to discern if something is God or not God? Am I hearing His voice or am not? Am I hearing my own crazy voice? Am I just going wacko? Which is what most of the world think you are, but it's okay. But actually, we do have that kind of a test in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. I'm reading from the Amplified. This is what it says. It says, "And let the peace," and then in parentheses it says, "soul harmony which comes from Christ rule or act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and setting with finality all the questions that arise in your minds." Now, maybe that's a little complicated way to say it, but it's a good explanation of it. He's talking about letting peace be the umpire. So I've entitled the message today, "Your Umpire, Peace." Let peace be your umpire. An umpire in a ball game is the one who calls the plays, right? He's the guy standing behind the catcher. I'm not a real NFL or MLB fan, but I know enough about baseball to know that umpire back there, he's an important guy. He's not there back there just to wave his hands and stuff. He's calling plays. So Paul says that peace can be like that umpire and call the plays in your life. But if you ain't got no peace, you got a problem, because the umpire's not there. He's not calling the plays. He's not letting you in on what the voice is saying or not saying. But we can have that umpire peace. So let's turn to the book this morning in Psalm chapter 95, just to kind of start this out. Psalm 95 verse 1 says, "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." You know, Jesus is that rock. Amen. So when we say in these days, "Come sing to the Lord," we were worshiping Him this morning. Jesus is that rock of our salvation, the rock who purchased for us with His own blood our freedom, our deliverance, our forgiveness, and everything that the covenant that God made with us provides. Jesus is that rock. There's no other name. We sang about that this morning. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only one. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And so we're coming to sing to that Lord Jesus. We're coming to shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation, because it's a lot to shout about, because He made a way for us where there wasn't any way. Because He's the everything that can make your life tick. Verse 2 says, "Let us come to Him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to Him." Well, no wonder He saved us and He healed us and He delivered us. He set us free. Amen. So why not? Let's come to Him with thanksgiving. Let's have a grateful heart towards Him and sing psalms, worship songs to Him. Verse 3, 4, "The Lord is a great God. He's a great King above all the gods." The reality is there's none greater. There's a lot of gods in the earth, false gods, pretenders, things that have been concocted by the mind of men, were set up by satanic forces for people to worship. But there's no God like Him, who loves you, who cares about you, who will talk to you, who will lead you and guide you, who will be that good shepherd that makes you to lie down in the green pastures or lead you beside the quiet waters. There isn't any other kind of God like that. I've traveled in a lot of nations, and I've seen a lot of people worship a lot of different things. and even in our own nation here. But there's no God like him. And when you get to know that God for who he is and what he is and what he will do in you, to you, through you, and for you, it's something to shout to him and to praise him and to worship him about. Verse 4 says, he holds in his hand the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands form the dry land too. So this is our creator God, the God that created the universe, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who put man in charge of that heaven and earth. He's the one who created us to love him, to honor him, to have a relationship with him, to be able to talk and communicate with him. That's the God that we're talking about here. None is greater than him. Just think, he created that world for you, for me, for us, to have a place. He created it to be a good place, a wonderful place, a beautiful place. And then, of course, it got messed up when man fell into sin and Satan came and destroyed and can still come and to steal, kill, and destroy. You can see it all around us. But he created that wonderful world for us. Verse 8 says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. We want to show him that he's Lord and we're not. Amen. For he is our God. We are the people he watches over. Isn't that amazing? There's 8 billion people or so in the world, and he's able to watch over every one of them. The Bible says the hair on your heads are numbered. He's engraved you in the palm of his hand. He knows you personally and individually, just like he knows every other person in the world. What an amazing, amazing God we serve. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. We're back to the shepherd picture, right? We're under his care. Amazing. If only, this is how verse 7 ends, if only you would listen to his voice today. If only. How many times have we maybe not listened to his voice? Or let other things crowd out his voice? Or had our own agenda so we didn't have time to meet with him to hear his voice? If only you would listen to his voice today. Wow. That wonderful God. Awesome God. The God who loves you, cares about you, continually looks after you, sends his angels to surround you and protect you. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encamps around and about those that fear him and delivers him. Fear meaning respecting, serving, honoring him. Wouldn't it be a shame to have all of that available and not use it, not take advantage of it, not receive it, not believe it, just shut it out, close it out, or somehow miss it? But God's called you. He's appointed you for this time and for this hour. You are special to him. Amen. He must have thought you were up to living in this time because he created you for this time. And he really cares about you. He'll speak to you in the nighttime, in the daytime, at noontime, in the middle of your problems and troubles, and in the middle of your joys and rest time. He wants to communicate with you. He wants you to hear his voice, and he wants peace to be that umpire. So, most of you know the difference between peace and agitation. And usually there's something or someone or some situation or circumstance that chips away to try to get us out of that place of peace, to keep that peace from being our umpire. Sometimes there are assignments against us to keep that peace out of our life, or to take away that peace that we have, or that we're clutching on to. But he's there. The Bible says he'll never leave you, never forsake you, so that you can boldly say, I'll not be afraid of what man shall say or do, because the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? Nothing. Amen. But you have to trust in him and build that relationship in him. So let's get practical. What do we need to do to develop our talking to God or hearing from God or trusting God in that way? If you turn in your Bibles to, or on your phones, to Colossians chapter 3, and starting with verse 12, I want to walk you through a couple of keys to developing that trust relationship with him. Colossians 3, verse 12, it says, then I think I'm reading out of a New Living. I didn't really mark it here, but this is a New Living Bible, I think, that I'm using here. It says, put on then, as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So he's talking about, he's setting up for how to have peace in your life. If you could live this way, you could have peace. You could have peace be that umpire that's calling the plays in your life. If you will put on compassionate hearts, if you will put on kindness. You know, just think about it this way. If you put on your clothes in the morning, you're clothing yourself, you're putting on garments for protecting you against various kinds of weather or to look nice or to relax or to be formal or whatever. Put on, for the believer, we should put on a compassionate heart like a garment. In other words, we can give people some space and we can give them some grace. Amen? Amen. Because we have a compassion for people. We love people. In spite of what they might be doing to us, saying about us, or all the other stuff that can happen, you know, in relationships between people, we can have a compassionate heart towards people, even when others might not be having such a heart towards us. Amen? So put that on like clothes. Put on kindness. You know, this world can use a little kindness. Amen? Put on humility. Nobody likes to be around somebody that's prideful and arrogant, right? I mean, it just stinks, right? Because you start seeing through all the facade, all the cover-up, all the makeup face. Put on humility. Put on meekness. There's kind of a big shortage of that around. So, but as believers, we can fill in that void, right? Meekness doesn't mean you let people run over you, but meekness means that you don't have to lord it over someone because you know who you are in Jesus. You're confident and you're comfortable with being who you are in Jesus. You don't have to pretend to be somebody else. You just be you. But in a way that pleases God and honors God. Not, I got to be me, so that means I just do whatever I want or whatever the flesh wants to do, wherever that wants to take me. You know, sometimes you hear people, I just got to be me, you know. And it's not a good thing. It's not a pretty picture. If we're left onto our own, you know, we can be pretty self-destructive with kind of being me. But if we can be the me that God created us to be, it's a great thing. We can be meek, a meek person. And then it says, put on patience. You know, everybody has plenty of that, right? Just give me patience right now. In a hurry. Put on some patience with people, you know? I mean, you know, people have got their stuff going on. And a lot of times, you know, people have stuff going on. We don't realize they have stuff going on. So we get really, really impatient with them. And we try to press them. And we try to solve all their problems and do all their stuff. And it all ends up the wrong way. Because we can't be everything to everybody, but God can be everything they need if we'll just give him a chance and trust him. You know, some things and some people, you just got to put them in the hands of God. Say, you know what, God, I'm done with this. I'm trusting you with that person. Amen? But we can be patient with that person in spite of all the stuff that's, you know, maybe triggering all these reactions and stuff. Bearing with one another. Wow. I mean, we have to do that too. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as God has forgiven you. Remember, the person who's been forgiven much loves much. Amen. And with you, that was God loving you and sending Jesus to the cross to forgive you, to purchase your forgiveness and your healing and your deliverance, your safety, your soundness, your blessing. So we should be at least that to others, as much as God has forgiven us. And then, finally, it says, above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. You know, love goes a long way. Amen. It covers a multitude of sins. Love is really letting God live through you. And a lot of people don't know that kind of love or have never experienced that kind of love, so they have a hard time relating to that kind of love. But when you come to Jesus, you begin to sense the love of God, because you begin to see the love of God in those whom He has saved, sanctified, healed, and delivered, and blessed. Praise the Lord. Above all these things, put on love, which brings or ties everything together in perfect harmony. We want unity. We want things to be harmonized, not out of order. Amen? Praise the Lord. So here are three keys of developing that kind of a trust relationship with Him. Verse 15 says, and, everybody say and. Amen. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. In other words, this is the place where peace can be the umpire, calling the plays in your heart and in your life, to which indeed you were called in one body. I think this is maybe the most important key. Let peace rule in your heart. You know, if somebody's ruling, that means somebody's submissive to the rule, right? So if peace comes into your heart, you can submit to peace because you know that God has spoken to you. If there's agitation in your heart, something is wrong. Something's out of place. Something's out of order. But Jesus can bring that peace, which validates and which identifies and which shows you it's the voice of God coming to you. Peace is that umpire. So it's maybe the most important of these three keys that I'm sharing with you. But all of them are important. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to in which you were, indeed you were called in one body. And so in other words, when we came to Jesus, He put a mark on us that we're His. But He didn't call us to be His out in some isolated island somewhere, you know, where there's no other people and there's no other challenges and where there's no trouble and problems and trouble and all that stuff. He called us into a body, into a fellowship with each other, so that we could walk this through together. So for peace to be really effective in your life, you have to be connected. You can't just be out there hanging somewhere and say, well, I love God and I'm a Christian and I'm a believer and I'm this and I'm that and the other thing. If you're not in the body, if you're not connected, you're just out there somewhere. Now, people might be reaching out to you, might be holding on to you, might be trying to persuade you that it'd be a good thing for you to come to cell group, come to the small group meeting, or come to the church meeting. But you have to decide yourself, you know, if Jesus is the head and we are the body, that's the picture that the Bible paints of how believing in God works. That we're not called to do it as alone, we're called to do it as a community, as a group of people. We're called to serve God and to love God and honor God together. Of course, we have to do it individually. We can't just, you know, be Christian, be a believer on Sunday and put on the nice face, and then on Monday or Tuesday and Wednesday we live like hell and do all the stuff and, you know, cheat and lie and steal and all the other things, kinds of things. Amen? And And of course, you know, if we asked for the perfect person to stand up, none of us could stand because we're all guilty, right? Nobody has been perfect at this. But we can understand that we're called to this, right? And that we're a work in process, and that however that, wherever that process is right now, tomorrow can be a better day. Because I can have a better understanding of it, but not just an understanding, I can have a better living, working relationship with the one who gives me the peace inside. And when we get into that kind of relationship with him and with each other, then that peace really can umpire, call the plays in our life. It's really important to get that, to understand that. So he says that this peace of Christ will rule in our heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, meaning that you're in fellowship with each other. You're working this out together with each other. We need each other. I need you. You need me. We need us. We need all of us. We don't need isolation. Because when I'm isolated, I get in trouble. You know the story of the lion in Africa and the gazelle? When the gazelle gets isolated, the gazelle is in trouble because the lion's coming. The Bible says that there's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in faith. That's why we need each other. We need to stay in the team, on the team, in the herd, in the whatever, however you do it. However you want to call it, whatever picture you want to use, or the buffalo, the water buffalo together, defeating the lion. We're called in one body. Okay, so that's point one. The peace of Christ ruling in your heart. Peace being the umpire that's calling the plays in your life. Two, it's is at the end of that verse, verse 15, says, and be thankful. Everybody say thankful.
Thankful.
Be thankful. There's such a lack of gratefulness in the world that we live in. I mean, just people think they're entitled to stuff. They think they, whatever. And, you know, somebody should give this. Somebody should do it all for me so I don't have to do anything for myself. Because I'm my own God anyway, you know. So you should just serve me. But the word says, be thankful. Be a grateful person for the little things, for the big things, for the medium things. Be thankful for the breath of air that you just took.
Amen.
Be thankful for the big provision that God just made for you.
Amen.
Just be thankful. Be a thankful person.
Hallelujah.
You know, nobody can stand snotty kids that are not thankful. So don't be a snotty kid. Be a thankful person. Because God loves you. He cares about you. And he's providing for you. That's point number two. Now, point number three is this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that's not unimportant. Because his word is life to us. His word is health to our flesh. Why do we share the word of God with each other? Why did Sarah share Psalm 23 with us this morning? Because those words were life to somebody here.
Yes, amen.
They were to me anyway, but
yes,
probably to you too. Because that's why he directed her to talk about that and to paint that as a picture for us to get it. We probably could have just gone home after that and said, hey, we had a nice service today. Amen. But isn't it nice how all these pieces are fitting together? You know, Mew is sharing from the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, and big and bold in the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And Sarah is sharing from Psalm 23. We didn't talk about this and say, no, okay, now Mew, you have to put the fruit of the Spirit on there today, you know? You know, you got to get that working in your life here. Or Sarah, you got to get back in that pasture. No, God was speaking, he was leading, he was directing, and all the time God was speaking to me to talk to you this morning about peace the umpire. So it's all fitting together, praise the Lord. But it all comes from the Word. The Word of Christ, the Word of Jesus, the Word of the Anointed One. Christ is just an untranslated kind of word from the Greek, Christos. which means the anointed one or the Messiah, the one appointed from the beginning, from before the foundations of the earth, the Bible says, to bring our salvation, our healing, and deliverance. He's the anointed one, the one who is anointed for that purpose. Let the word of that anointed one dwell in you richly. Well, it can't dwell in you richly if you never put it in. I guess we get that, right? So when we're encouraged to get into the Word of God or to read the Word, just not just read the Word, but to meditate on the Word, to let it become a part of us, then sometimes we look at the big book, you know, and we say, that's impossible. There's too many words in there. Well, you don't have to have every one of those words totally in one sitting. Sometimes just a few verses will change your life. Because God's speaking to you this way. If you want to know what God sounds like, this one's in Spanish, but I know you can get one in your language. On your phone, on your dusty shelf, is a book that we call the Word of God. Let it dwell. Let it take up residence inside of you richly. Everybody say richly. What would that mean, richly? That mean that it's hugely wonderful, right? Because everybody likes rich, right? We like rich cake, rich German chocolate cake. Amen. We like rich in the bank, you know, like lots of money. Richly, we get the word richly, right? So let the word be richly developed inside of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So out of that, you can be an awesome witness for Jesus. So those three things. Let peace rule in your heart. Be thankful. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. You can be an awesome witness for Jesus because it goes on in verse 16 to say, teaching and admonishing, or admonishing is like... Can have a sense of correcting you, but also can be have a sense of encouraging you. Amen? So all of us need correction and encouragement. Yesterday in our men's cell meeting, which we do on Zoom video conference, through one of the brothers in Detroit, a friend of Oliver's, we were connected with a man in Germany who needed deliverance. How crazy is that? So here from Fort Wayne, Indiana, we were touching a person's life in Germany, a guy that really needed some encouragement. I mean, he was broken. He was finished. He's busted up. And he needed someone to speak into his life. He was crying on the video, a conference that, as the guys all ministered to him, everybody was jumping in and ministering to this man, this young man, and his family. So, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. You know, wisdom is being able to take the knowledge you have and apply it in a way that produces good stuff, right? And it's not hard to lack wisdom because you see, lack of wisdom is going around, you know? So the more wisdom that we can get, the better we are. And the Bible says that comes from the Word of God. It comes from impartation from Him. It comes from the Holy Spirit working in our lives. So it says, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That means individually and together. Why do we? It's about worshiping God. Amen? Because He's the one who puts all this stuff together. With thankfulness in your hearts to God. So there comes that gratefulness again. So he's talking about being a witness for Him, and he's also talking about how He can make this work and how He puts it together. Verse 17 finalizes it this way. It says, whatever you do, everybody say whatever.
Whatever.
Okay, listen, it's coming, right? When it says, when the Bible says, and whatever you do, it means listen up. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything. Now get this one. Remember that name we were singing about just a little bit ago? Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean, to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus? That means to do it under His authority. He's the head. We're the body. We're the ones that are submitted to Him. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So when we're submitted, when we're doing it in the name, when we're under the name of Jesus, under the covering of His authority, we can give thanks to God the Father through Him. In other words, we can bring Him the perfect praise. We can bring Him the adoration that He deserves and is longing to have from us as we have that relationship with Him. He can perfect our praise. The Bible says when Jesus came marching into Jerusalem on that day just before His crucifixion, that the children were crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. It's a Jewish verse. It's a verse from the Old Testament that was a prediction of, this is the Messiah. When this happens, this is the Messiah. So they were singing Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. The children were recognizing this is the Messiah coming in, and all the other people were mad. They were saying, make those kids shut up. You hear what they're saying to you? Who do you think you are? Jesus. But he was the Messiah. And he was coming to redeem. He was coming to bless. He was coming, and the children recognized it. And when they were telling the children to shut up, he was saying, yeah, but the Bible says, the Word says, you come back to the Word, he said, the Word says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings shall come perfect praise. So that's what God is trying to do in our lives. He wants peace to be in your heart and your life so that you can live a life of worship. I mean, worship isn't just Sunday when we come and look at the screen and sing some songs. Worship is serving Him and honoring Him and loving Him and being connected with Him and being connected with each other and letting these things of peace ruling in our hearts, of thankfulness, of the Word dwelling in us richly, letting that happen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to break into small groups just now and just consider one verse from Colossians 3:15. So just take a little time, and then we're going to come back and I'm going to do a wrap up, and we're going to pray for you and do a couple of other things, and then we'll be dismissed. But right now, just talk to each other about that verse, Colossians 3:15. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, have you really been praying about God letting you know whether a certain action you want to take is in agreement to Him or is in His will? If you hear His voice, you can know which way to go. Amen. Let this peace of Christ dwell in you or guide you. Let peace be your umpire when you're hearing that voice. If there's agitation, if there's whatever, go back to Him. Talk to Him. Communicate with Him. Let Him talk to you. And then let peace be that umpire and guide your heart. Let it help you and settle the issue forever. Amen? If you start to take action and you realize you don't have peace, just don't do it. I guess that's pretty simple, but, you know, a lot of times we just do stuff. I mean, you've heard them say, do something even if it's wrong. That's not a good way to go. Not really the wisdom of God. So the inner leading of the Holy Spirit is that voice that peace is the umpire for. Inside. Most of the time, you know, we don't have a visitation from God on Saturday night saying, you know, this, 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 and this. And we see Him like we see each other. But most of the time we hear a still small voice inside. He's leading us, He's guiding us, He's directing us. So that sense of uneasiness or peace that He gives you, one or the other, watch it and listen carefully. Amen. Be conscious of it. Be conscious if it's uneasy. Be conscious of it if it's peace. Make yourself aware of that. He's generally not going to come and knock you out of the bed in the morning and say, here, get with it. But the primary way that he speaks to everybody is through what the Bible calls an inner witness, inside voice. Because that's where he lives, remember? He's come to live and dwell in you. So if you're listening out here and he's in here, you might be listening in the wrong place. Listen in your heart, inside, what he's really speaking to you. You have to listen. You can't just stay busy about all the things around you, all the things in the world, all the things at your job, and all the things wherever. You have to make some space for that, to listen and to hear. You need to give him some time and give him some attention. Because a relationship with him is a lot similar to relationships that you can have with each other or with another person. If you give it no time and no attention, the relationship crashes and burns. But if you pay attention and give it some attention and give it some time and put yourself into it, the relationship can blossom and be beautiful and be wonderful and be meaningful to both sides. But the biggest issue in life that kills that is strife. So be careful how you live, because strife has a terrible payback. It opens the door to evil and confusion. So when we're into it with others or into it with each other or holding a grudge or allowing bitterness to rise up again, to rise from the dead if you've put it out of your life, that's a showstopper. And it'll take away your peace. And it'll take away your ability to listen. So be thankful. Be appreciative. Giving praise to God. And when you do that, it kind of turns around those feelings on the inside that want to creep back in and take over and take you back to where you used to be. Thanking and praising God is a great way to reorient your thinking. You know, the Bible says that we should be not conformed to the world or shaped like the world or shaped by the world, but be transformed or changed by renewing our minds. How do you do that? By having that relationship with God. By allowing His Word to dwell in you richly. By hearing His voice. By feeling that peace that comes when the umpire is calling the plays in your life. Maintain a thankful and a grateful heart to God. Colossians 3:15 again says, let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from the Christ rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all the questions that arise in your minds. So let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us today from your word and by your spirit, Lord, because for sure, it's more important what your Holy Spirit is speaking to each of us about your word than anything that I've had to say today to these folks. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to bring revelation of this peace inside of each of us, Lord. Bring a spirit of wisdom and revelation inside of us. Impart into us not just the importance of it, but the how-tos of how to implement those 3 points of letting peace rule, of being thankful, and of letting your word dwell in us richly. Lord, help us to implement that in a powerful way, an awesome way. Holy Spirit, we're depending on you, leading and guiding us and directing us and helping us. Thank you for reminding us of all the things that Jesus said. And thank you for your special, precious presence anointing over our lives, bringing us that peace and that covering that we need so desperately in a world that's really gone crazy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We love you and honor you in this place today. In Jesus' name. And everybody.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House Podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.